National Radio Club.
Heidi Exers, welcome to Market Scope for February 2012. This month, we're back to the Aircheck Library to dust off some old tapes for your dining and dancing pleasure. Enjoy.
The real inside information on these stories tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. You'll get it from Joe Ricker, WLNG's news director, when the East End comes alive. Early in the morning on FM 92. The daytime, we're on AM 1600. We're on Dimension Cable Channel 24. I'm Jim McGann. They're just keeping me around here until they can find somebody else. I want to change my name to Phil In. From the Big Sound Survey, here's the Miami Sound Machine. And Bad Boys, the old hit, new hit place to be, is WLNG, number 8 this week on the Big Sound Survey. WLNG, the Miami Sound Machine. Bad Boys, 9:15, Wednesday night. All right, lots of requests coming in, and I, Jim McGann, had a great idea. Can I pull it off, I wonder? The next turn the mic off while I'm talking. The next couple of minutes, what I'd like to do is do a rock and roll kind of double oldie with a father and son rock team. Yeah, I figure we flash back to way back when with Johnny Burnett and a hit called Dreaming. What was the year? I don't have the book ready. And then we can do one from his kid, Dorsey Burnett, who about in 1978 had a album called The Son of Rock and Roll and a hit called Tired of Towing the Line. So we'll try to do that. We have 2 minutes to find the record belonging to the son. We'll kick it off right now. Get your stopwatches ready. Could it be a rock and roll double oldie? We'll find out.
1600.
In the daytime.
92.1.
Power at night.
Tune into WLNG Radio. It's the end.
Yes. Here's Johnny Burnett with Rock and Roll Gold. It's Dreamin' FM 92, where the oldies live every day, WLNG.
Dreamin', I'm always dreamin'.
That's Johnny Burnett on the oldies station with Dreamin'. 9:18 of Golden Wednesday night. I'm Jim McGann, and, well, we'll do a jingle before we try to unravel this mystery here.
WLNG.
Thank you, and a big thank you to the intrepid listener who said, well, wait a minute, was Rocky Burnett the son of Johnny Burnett or Dorsey Burnett? And I went, yeah, thanks. So I'm not really sure, and I'm sure none of my listeners know, because most of our listeners just catch the station by accident when they're driving along and listen for about 5 minutes and move on to another station. So could it be that Johnny Burnett and Dorsey Burnett were the same person? Could it be, well, forget it. Let's play make-believe, okay? Ready? Let's pretend that the babies got mixed up in the hospital, and Rocky Burnett, no matter what, is the son of Johnny Burnett for a father and son rock and roll double oldie. Here's Rocky from the album The Son of Rock and Roll, Tired of Towing the Line. On WLNG. See, I know how to get out of a situation. I'm Jim McGann, so glad to be with you. FM 92.1, that is Rocky Burnett from the album Son of Rock and Roll. Probably his only album. Tired of Towing the Line. WLNG, I'm Jim McGann, and thanks, this is neat. At least I'm not embarrassed. I sound foolish, but I'm not embarrassed about it, because it was a legitimate question. I forgot whether or not Rocky Burnett was the son of Johnny Burnett or Dorsey Burnett, and thanks to my friend Tom, listening up Island of Peace, who listens to this show all the time. He listens to the entire show. Apparently, Tom doesn't have cable vision because he wouldn't be wasting his time here. Who clued me in, another rock and roll fanatic, that Rocky Burnett is the son of Johnny Burnett and Dorsey Burnett was the brother of Johnny Burnett. It's like Dynasty, isn't it? And the song Dreamin' that I just played was from 1960, summer of 1960, just after I was born, so I wasn't catching too much radio. I was busy, you know, learning how to eat and burp and stuff, and that song was from 1980. I remember that. Sebring, Florida, making $68 a week at WSEB. That's what I was doing. Now I'm Jim McGann, making almost twice that here at FM 92.1.
Favorite radio station, WLNG.
Hey, coming right up. The Hamptons Remodeling and Building Guide.
And thanks, WLNG, for caring.
Hey, don't mention it. And girls, forget about signing up. I'm Jim McGann, and the title is mine.
W Eastern Long Island, LNG.
Could you see it now? I win. I'm the Sea Queen. I'm in the parade, and my name is finally in Michael Musto's column in the Village Voice. 925. WLNG flashes back with Les Paul and Mary Ford. Les Paul, Mary Ford, How High the Moon, WLNG, brings him back.
WLNG, the sound of the East End.
The greatest oldies in the world, from the 1950s, 60s, 70s, even the 1980s. It's 928, I'm Jim again, and this is neat. I was just joking about wanting to be the Sea Queen.
I know some of my listeners are going to go,
see, I told you it was. I'm just feeling so wild tonight because my sweetheart Kelly taught me how to use styling loose because my hair was a mess. And tonight I look like Don King with the radio, with the headphones on. My hair sticking straight up. Styling loose, great stuff. I'm going to go out and buy a 12-pack tomorrow. We've got news coming up from the Mutual Network. It's 928, 46 degrees. This is WLNG. I love working here. I could throw anything on the turntable and get away with it. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, Chuck Mackin's back, by the way. And Chuck Mackin and I are going to be the new morning team, I'm hoping. Just saw an ad in Radio Records today. A big contemporary hit rock station out of Connecticut. We'd be good. McGann and Mackin. Or Mackin and McGann. I'd give Chuck top billing. Mackin and McGann. Mornings at 6 on W. High-paying radio, rock and roll stuff. So well, we're gone. You'll know where to find us. They'll tell you here. And I got to tell you, it's 46 degrees, and I can't find the weather forecast. But the Shinnecock tidal gates are now closed. They will open at 3 a.m., and you can boat through at any time. Can I go home now? I have a day job, you see? This week at 5 o'clock this morning, went to that, lifted lots of heavy stuff, because I've been demoted at the day job. Like I'm here, and I'll be here till midnight tonight. And sometime between then and now, I'm going to have a complete mental breakdown. So let me tell you now, for the last time, officially, this is WLNG FM 92.1. Say, over to New York, back in a couple of minutes. Please don't go away. More golden oldies every half hour than any other radio station on FM 92.
The North Fork does it. The South Fork does it.
Bum, bum, bum.
The 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s, even the 1980s. We bring them back. I like this. By request from a friend of mine in Montauk. This goes out from the Tall Tower, 92. Stevie Wonder talking about the superstitions on the Oldie Station. WLNG. Good evening, everybody.
Very superstitious.
Incidentally, we've been receiving a few calls here at CKLW regarding the Friday Night Fantasy, and again, I will try and explain to you that if you have been qualified already for the Friday Night Fantasy, then that's all you need do. You have a chance to win each and every week when we have our drawing, because we just hold those names over. More on that later on CKLW, where we will have more of the music here in just a second.
Perfection. It's been happening at Stroh's Ice Cream since 1919.
Oh, boy, I'm just checking the forecast here. Tonight's low is supposed to be 17 degrees. My gosh, it's 32 at the moment, partly sunshiny and rather windy, breezy for today. There's a chance, just a chance, of a little snow here and there flurrying about on this Wednesday afternoon. Repeating the current temperature, freezing cold, 32 degrees at CKLW.
Thank you.
limousine arrived at dusk. Hush whispers rose like steam into the cold air.
Who's that?
Amidst the camera flashes, she ran, hiding her face from the paparazzi. She disappeared into the night. CKLW, in conjunction with the Toronto Tourist and Convention Bureau, wants you to discover the feeling of a Friday night fantasy. You'll fly courtesy of Canadian Pacific Nordair to Ontario's most exciting city. Enjoy the luxurious accommodations of Toronto's landmark hotel, the Royal York. Experience the unique with a $1,000 shopping spree at Queen's Quay Terminal, lunch at Spinnaker's, and brunch atop the world's highest revolving restaurant, the CN Tower. The Friday Night Fantasy from CKLW. It may come true for you. Listen for your chance to qualify.
Okay, these are the telephone numbers for you to call. 298-6080 in the 313 area code, or in the 519 area code, 792-8000. Do not call yet. We are not quite ready, but we will be very, very shortly, right here on CKLW.
Women are sold on Albert K.
751.
Music Radio WLN.
WLS at 5 minutes before 8 o'clock. Nothing in Dear Abby's column this morning worth reading, but there were some gut-wrenching heartaches in yesterday's column. Dear Abby, my husband thinks the way to teach a child a lesson is to do to the child whatever the child does to you. If you tear up something of mine that I worked for, I will tear up something of yours that you like. So he took a knife and sliced the tires of our 5-year-old daughter's bike because she tried to get a fly out of our air conditioner and accidentally bent the coils. I told him he was guilty of child abuse. And he needed counseling. He said I was the one who needed counseling. This incident has changed my feelings toward him. Should I seek counseling with my children alone, or should I give him an ultimatum? Either he goes for counseling and learns how to be a proper father, or the children and I are leaving. Well, here's one that's worse. Dear Abby, I have a problem and don't want to ask anyone else because it is too embarrassing. I have an 8-year-old son, and I am not sure who his father is. It's either my husband... get this. It's either my husband or his brother.
Oh, no! Jeez.
4 minutes before 8. On the news next, story about a trial of a witch, Burt Lancaster's heart surgery, dog fight that resulted in a whole bunch of people going to jail, plus other stories, less with sports. Look at Rush Hour Traffic. Songs coming up by Dan Fogelberg, Jim Capaldi, The Birds, and The Eurythmics. And another Touchtone sometime in the next hour. A chance to win some concert tickets here at WLS.
It's 7:56. Good morning. I'm Jeff Hendricks.
And I'm Catherine Johns, WLS News. Hot and humid today with a high of 93.
That's WLS Skyview Traffic.
WLS AM and FM Chicago.
Larry Lujack in the morning. It's 8:04 in Chicago at WLS. WLS at 8:07. WLS welcoming Asia to Poplar Creek this coming Saturday, and we've lined up free tickets and copies of their new album titled Alpha. And you've got a chance to call in and win yours tonight after 7 o'clock on the station for the concerts, 11 minutes past 8.
There's nothing wrong with your radio. It's on your wavelength now, video game fanatics.
Save $3 on Sunday and Monday tickets at Indiana Napa Auto Parts Store. 13 minutes past 8.
Music, WLS.
WLS at 16 minutes past 8 o'clock. Temperatures this morning at the airports, both O'Hara Midway 75, south wind at 5 miles an hour, clear sky and sunshine at the lakefront 74. Hot and humid again today, high in the low 90s. Same thing for tomorrow, and there is a chance of thunderstorms. 30% chance of rain tonight, 40% tomorrow. Number one song is coming up next, 17 past 8. Traffic update, here's Louise Hill.
Larry, still no relief in sight if you're traveling on the Eisenhower or the Stevenson. They're both still running around 35 minutes.
Available exclusively at participating True Value Hardware stores and home center.
Larry Lujack in the morning at 20 past 8.
Just a little peek backward at Radio Through the Years. Remember, if you'd like your fellow DXers to hear all the neat stations in your hometown, record and send them to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. All of us radio geeks really get off on this stuff and would appreciate your contributions. Musings are next.
WLS Mobile News.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
Hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin, and I have some information to pass along. But before I do that, I would like to thank and give a personal greeting and shout out to Dave Alpert. Dave gave me a nice greeting and some kind words during the October audio service, and because of that, I have some information about a station in my area possibly coming on the air. There is indeed a new station licensed to the village of Superior, Wisconsin, and they are licensed to 1560. I found out that they will be 6,000 watts daytime and 4,000 watts at night using six-tower array, and they will be using the call letters WIVS. Some might remember those call letters from Crystal Lake, Illinois, back in the 70s. The stations are owned by Kermit A. Carlson. I did hear also that there's a new station that possibly came on the air from Durand, Wisconsin, using their original call letters WRDN on 1430, but that's east of Eau Claire, and it's also pretty far away from here, so I don't know if they're on yet. So that's some of the information that I have. 73s and good DX.
Greetings, DX Audio Service listeners. This is Terry Livingston Hughes in Los Angeles, California, out on the left coast. I was even farther left last week when I was visiting friends in Eureka, California. KEJY, formerly KWSW 790, is silent. It was throughout the entire week of my visit. I do not know for how long they have been silent. Their programming is now being carried on a station with a frequency of 106.3. I don't recall a station break, so I can't tell you its call letters. Thank you to all the editors. I love the work of all of you. I especially look forward to Mark Dernberger's columns every month because I learn so much. The magazine is such an excitement. As soon as I get it, I try to find the time to listen to the whole thing as soon as possible. This is the only recorded magazine I do that with. Greetings, 73s, to all of you. And if I should come across any other news, you will know. Bye-bye.
Good evening. It's January 6th here in 2012, and Happy New Year again, everyone. And I certainly appreciate everybody in the DX Audio Service and you for all of your hard work. That's my response to your editorial. Just want to make one quick correction to the AM switch column. WKMG was actually in Newberry, South Carolina. I used to live in Columbia, South Carolina, so I was familiar with the station, but you had it in North Carolina, so just wanted to correct that. Happy New Year, and thanks again for everything.
Hello, Fred and DX Audio Service members. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. Today is January 7th. New call letter changes. On 1580, it's now WNEW, and on FM 99.1 WNEW will be an all-news station competing with WTOP. Also, I want to ask a question for discussion. A friend and I, who also is a member of the audio service, got into a little discussion about the poor AM reception at night. We've noticed that AM stations don't seem to come in as well as they did when we were young. And his theory is that all the pollution from cars, trucks, buses, airplanes, etc. have built up over the years and has caused the ionosphere to become an absorber instead of a reflector. I kind of have my doubts about that. But the one thing that's really bothering me now is the fact that some stations, there's two AM pests at night. I live locally and get just about every type of interference, which makes it difficult for me to do any DXing at night now. One station in particular in downtown Silver Spring, when they go to their nighttime pattern, there's something wrong with the transmitter. My friend calls it a spur, where the antenna and the transmitter are not properly tuned. I get a single sideband type of noise on 930, 1110, and 1170. WFED is another nighttime pest. Since I'm so close to their transmitter, I get them on 1540, 1580, 1620, and 1660. They sound like a weaker version of the same station. 1540, the Spanish language station in Wheaton, they have a transmitter spur problem on 1420, 1620. Thank goodness they go off an hour after local sunset. And I'm just wondering what kind of other interference are caused by the lack of maintenance due to, I guess, not caring anymore, or they just don't have the money. I guess this would piggyback on Mark Neuenberger's, do they sign off when they're supposed to sign off or cut back when they're supposed to cut back? I guess I'm going to add, are they fixing their transmitter and antenna so they don't cause spurs on other frequencies?
This is Tim Hendel. Regarding Fred's editorial in the January DX Audio Service, I'd like to say that I've been a member almost since the beginning, and I thoroughly, thoroughly appreciate all of the hours Fred and the gang put into producing DX Audio Service. Thank you very, very much. As for those two rude people, the one who got a blank tape and the other one who wanted a lot of stuff that Fred would have had to take hours to record, you know what? The club is better off without them, don't you think? Also, if John Wesley Smith hears this, how do you get such wonderful audio on your musings? What kind of a telephone are you using?
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri. I just wanted to say thank you, Fred, for the fantastic demonstration of automation. It's amazing how far that's come. Wow, it's really something. Anyway, very interesting, and do keep up the good work. I really appreciate all you do for the DX audio service, and really enjoy Mark's columns and the market scopes that Phil does and all that, and I hope more people will contribute in this new year of 2012. Thanks. 7-3.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Some great DXing going on over the New Year's weekend. The morning of New Year's Eve, I picked up a station on 950 under WWJ Detroit, and they were playing jigs and reels. Of course, by the time they ID'd, it got lost. On 960, I got a station somewhere in southern New England. That was what I could gather from it. And some of the stations have been staying up longer into the day still. WTAQ is a notable one. 1360 in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the flagship station of the Green Bay Packers football network. They've been staying up. And, of course, some of the 50,000-watt guy wavers have, too. I've been getting, like, WBZ Boston about 2 o'clock some afternoons, and stations in New York and Philadelphia and Chicago and Fort Wayne, different things like that. So it's been very good DXing to end one year and start another, and hopefully a lot of this is going to continue. A couple of our stations in Toronto on the X-band, one on 1610, one on 1690, have recently been heard as far away as Oklahoma and Texas by some DXers that I think must have some pretty fantastic radio sets. And the station that's coming out in the spring in Mississauga on 960 with 2,000 watts will be bearing the call letters CKNT.
Hi there, this is Mike Lance from Aventura, Florida. Well, from January 11th to the 15th, Steve Francis from Tennessee and Ernie Wislowski and I had the chance to go to Key West. And we listened to a lot of radio, and we picked up a lot of Cuban stations, including Radio Rebelde, Radio Progreso, La Onda Alegría, I hope I said that right, and many other stations. Plus, we visited WKWF 1600 in Key West, which is sports, and the station on 1500 that used to be a great top 40 station is now WKIZ, and they are unfortunately a Spanish religious station. Or OD station in Miami and in the South Florida area, 102.7, in my opinion, is dead. They hardly do any personality whatsoever, and they play music of mainly 70s and today. Brad, I have to say thank you for the club. Thank you for the many wonderful years that you have presented joy to millions of people that are interested in radio, especially to me with my hearing going down and myself listening to radio. I have to say thank you for the club, and may 2012 be a good year for you and your family and your friends. If there's anything I can do to help, let me know. I'll be there for you. Take care.
Wayne Ryan again. It's been announced on WGR Buffalo, New York 550, that they, next season, will become officially the radio home of the Buffalo Bills. They had the games back at an earlier time before they were ever really an all-sports station. Now they are an all-sports station, so this is a very good move for them. They also have the Buffalo Sabres hockey.
Greetings, DX Audio Service members. This is Terry Livingston Hughes in Los Angeles, California. When I left my message last week, I did not know that Mark Durenberger's State of the Station report was going to be about Los Angeles. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed that. For much of the radio history beginning around 1960 on, I remember a few things I did not remember, and I have another station to suggest to you as a possible topic. It is now silent. It was for years KPPC in Pasadena at 1240 a.m. I think it was all of 100 watts. It's the only station I knew of, that I'm aware of, that was licensed to broadcast on Wednesday nights and Sundays. And as far as I know, that's it. The station broadcast from Pasadena Presbyterian Church, later on became associated with its FM frequency in broadcasting sort of freeform rock and roll format. And then I'm not sure exactly what happened to it, but when the FM became KROQ, the AM remained KPPC and adopted some other formats before it was eventually purchased by a group that had a format called Your Personal Achievement, and they let it die. But it might be an interesting history to look into. 73 is good DXing, everyone. Bye-bye.
Mark Durenberger in the Musings Control Room with some thoughts for Victor's image problem. I mean, his receiver image. There's a very good likelihood that your radio is actually being overloaded by a strong signal, Victor. Some modern radios have great signal sensitivity, but when a strong signal hits them, they can go into a mode in which the tuning thinks there are several bogus signals. It's called non-linearity. In almost every case, the images you're hearing aren't really there. They're being created right in your radio. To find out if your radio is overloading, one idea might be to take the radio to a location where you usually have very weak signals. That should cut them all down, including the strong one. A laundry room is often a good place. When the signals coming in are below the overload point, the radio usually straightens itself out, and everybody ends up where they should be. You also may actually have a problem with the radio itself. There may be something wrong with it, or it may be reacting to another radio nearby that's turned on. Again, moving the radio around should change things. I'd be curious about what you learn. It's almost unheard of that so many stations would actually be transmitting so many of those images you're hearing. Oh, and as far as polluted atmosphere causing signal problems, you win that bet, Victor. The real culprit is the rise of the noise, mostly electrical noise on the AM band, from the many culprits that we've described in our BandScan noise columns. Pollution of the atmosphere is not a factor. And to respond to Terry Livingston Hughes, Pasadena Station KPPC 1240 really does have an interesting history. I'm taking the liberty of quoting this historical excerpt from the work of Jim Hilliker. In the early years, KPPC was on 1310 kilocycles and had the channel to itself until 1927, when it shared time with KELW in Burbank. KPPC moved to 1200 in 1928, and then in 1929 to 1210, where it had to share time with KFXM in San Bernardino. And you're right, Terry, KPPC was started by the Pasadena Presbyterian Church, intended to broadcast only church services, Sundays and Wednesday nights. From 1929 onward, 1210 KPPC had to share time, as we said. Both stations were moved to 1240 in March of 1941 by NARBA. June of 1944, KFXM moved to 590, and a new station in San Bernardino ended up on 1240 with KPPC. Well, in 1944, the FCC changed the status of KPPC from a shared time station to what they called specified hours. Before June 1944, KFXM had to go off the air when KPPC was broadcasting. Under the new plan, KPPC would broadcast Sundays and Wednesdays during its specified number of hours, but KGFJ 1230 in Los Angeles had to lower its power to 100 watts. They were on an adjacent channel, and this was needed to reduce the interference to KPPC. And the 1240 station in San Bernardino had to do the same thing, lower their power to avoid interference to KPPC. And that isn't quite the end of it. In the late 40s, KGIL 1260 came on the air in San Bernardino, posing another interference problem. This new station had to use its nighttime directional on Sundays when KPPC was on the air. Now, why all of this protection for a little 100-watt station? Because KPPC was grandfathered in by the FCC. KPPC had come on the air before the others, and it deserved to be protected from interference. The other station owners hated it, but they had to abide by those rules, which lasted until 1985. Between April 1996 and September of that year, KPPC went on the air only on Sundays for an hour per week. It seems that the station had just refused to die. They were able to go on each Sunday morning for the 11 a.m. to noon broadcast of the service from Pasadena Presbyterian Church. KPPC had come full circle during its last year on the air. Its sole purpose, once again, was to broadcast the Sunday church services of its founder from the site where the station first went on the air Christmas Day of 1924. The last broadcast of KPPC 1240 took place in September of 1996 after yet another Sunday morning broadcast from Pasadena Presbyterian Church, nearly 72 years after the station first went on the air. Terry, thank you for suggesting we cover that station. What an interesting story. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
This is the DX Audio Service.
All News helps keep AM alive in Canada. This article appeared in Radio World magazine on January 9th, 2012, and was written by James Carolus. Across Canada, the AM band has been losing listeners for decades. As listeners move to stereo-friendly FM, the web, and audio stream to smartphones. But the all-news format has been holding its own on the AM band. In fact, since 680 CFTR in Toronto became 680 News in 1993, stations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, Vancouver, British Columbia, and in the Canadian capital of Ottawa have converted to an all-news format. It's costly, but successful. The limited distribution of all-news AM stations, there are also many news talk and sports talk AM stations in Canada, speaks to the cost associated in running such an operation. Compared to music stations that can use automated systems, all-news stations require a full staff. As a result, the all-news format only makes sense in markets large enough to support such stations and their competitors. The guys at 1010 Winds in New York City,
who advised us on flipping CFTR to 680 News in the 1990s, said they wouldn't consider a market that was worth less than $60 million in ad revenues, said John Heinen, vice president of 680 News, and the person responsible for the Rogers Radio All News AMs in Calgary, Ottawa, and Vancouver. It makes sense. A market has to be big enough to pay for a full range of music stations. This is why we haven't brought all news to our smaller markets. At the same time, all news formats can be money makers. For instance, 680 News is the top billing station in Canada, Heinen said. Based on the autumn 2011 ratings for Toronto, 680 News is the number four station in the market, bracketed on both sides by FM music stations. But it's not just our ratings that make the difference. It's the nature of our listeners. People listen to the commercials more on AM news stations because they're part of the information mix. This translates to greater value for our advertisers, Heinen said. A few decades ago, the Canadian AM band was awash in music stations, including top hit powerhouse 680 CFTR. But then FM caught on during the 1970s, and the slow decline of AM began. After all, if you're going to listen to a great song, would you prefer to hear it on mono AM with its limited dynamic range, or in stereo on FM? Asked David Farrell, vice president of brands and programming and content for Chorus Entertainment, owner of iNews 880 in Edmonton, Alberta. Right. You'll tune into FM, which is why AM is in trouble. However, AM is good enough for talk stations, which is why so many AM broadcasters across North America have chosen some form of speech-based format. In fact, the Canadian market became saturated with news talk stations years ago, which is why all news stations are becoming an attractive alternative. As the pioneer in this field, it wasn't easy for Rogers to make the initial plunge. At the time, the notion was proposed. 680 CFTR was making $1 million a year in revenues. Still, then Rogers Broadcasting president Tony Viner could see the writing on the wall, which is why he pitched the concept to the company's board and its chairman Ted Rogers Jr. Rogers could have been forgiven for balking at the idea. But Ted had no problem agreeing with the switch, which was built upon the former development by 1010 Winds in New York, Heinen said. So we went ahead. 3 years later, Rogers turned its Vancouver country music station, CKWX AM, into News 1130. This time, using a half-hour all-news format developed by KYW News Radio in Philadelphia. We subsequently moved 680 News to the KYW half-hour clock as well, Heinen said. CFFR in Calgary switched from Oldies to 660 News in 2006, and Ottawa's CIWW went from Oldies to 1310 News in 2010. Meanwhile, Chorus flipped Edmonton's CHQT from Adult Hits to iNews 880 in 2008. Good results, but today All News is proving to be a reliable performer for both Rogers and Chorus on AM. But both companies would move their All News operations to FM if they could get the chance. The reason? AM is so unfavorable to younger listeners that many Canadians aren't even aware of it, let alone tune into it. It has gotten so bad that some car manufacturers are leaving AM off their in-dash entertainment systems, Farrow said. Both Rogers and Chorus have been pushing back by promoting their all-news through their FM music station and making their all-news feeds available through the web. Still, if the regulator would allow us to move to FM, we would, said Heinen. The problem is that each radio group is only allowed to own two FM and two AM stations in each market, and no more. To flip one of our all-news AMs to FM, we would have to sell one of our current FM stations, and that wouldn't make business sense. If I had my way, I would be on both AM and FM, said Heinen. AM travels further distances, and FM would penetrate the downtown core more. For the time being, all news radio seems destined to remain on AM in Canada. Even in the 21st century, people are tuning into this format on AM radio, including younger listeners who have learned about AM from FM and the web. Ending the FCC's arbitrary indecency policies. This article comes from a newsletter that I receive at the TV station. I thought you might find it of interest. Broadcasters have, for a long time, been bound by government decency standards in exchange for the use of public airwaves. But for years, the Federal Communications Commission refrained from punishing the airing of an errant swear word, reserving its ire and its regulatory muscle for instances where broadcasters flagrantly disregard the standards and air profanity or nudity between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., when children were most likely to be watching. Then came the 2003 Golden Globe Awards, during which U2 lead singer Bono let fly the F-word while accepting an award during a live NBC broadcast. The Bush-era FCC ruled in 2004 that this fleeting expletive deserved condemnation. Later that year, the agency blessed ABC's broadcast of Steven Spielberg's World War II epic Saving Private Ryan, which abounds in curse words. What gives? The Supreme Court heard oral arguments Tuesday in a case in which broadcasters and their allies rightly challenged the Federal Communications Commission's indisputably confusing and arbitrary policies. The Washington Post Company owns broadcast stations that could be affected by any decision in this case. Viewers these days flip easily between uncensored and often provocative content on premium subscription channels and network programming bound by the government standards. The proliferation of these cable and satellite channels has irrevocably altered the TV landscape, and critics say erased the legal and moral rationale for holding broadcast channels to a different standard. Some in the broadcast industry argue that the indecency standards amount to unconstitutional and discriminatory government censorship. We believe that this argument has gone too far. There is a value in maintaining a safe harbor of relatively clean programming on the country's broadcast stations. Although competition abounds and the number of households that rely on broadcast continues to dwindle, the networks remain enormous draws for the public viewing. No more so than during the live sporting and entertainment events. These channels also carry indispensable local news. There is a legitimate policy debate to be had on whether the Federal Communications Commission should continue to monitor broadcasts for indecency violations, but this decision is better left to political and policy arenas and not a court of law. The justices, however, should strike down the current FCC indecency regime. Those rules, as they were, are vague, leaving broadcasters to wonder and worry whether they may be subjected to FCC sanctions, fearing major fines as a result of live coverage of an event at which a passing expletive may be uttered or a nudity fleetingly depicted. Broadcasters are reluctantly choosing not to cover such events or air certain types of stories or programs at all, according to a brief filed by the National Association of Broadcasters and the Radio Television Digital News Association. Returning to the old model that targeted deliberate and consistent scofflaws and protected good-faith broadcasters from a celebrity's inappropriate and fleeting outbursts could eliminate this chilling effect. So how do you feel about indecency on the air? Give us a call on the Musings line and post your comment. And that's it for this edition of the DX Audio Service for February 2012. Special thanks to those of you who did call and also write and thank us for our efforts at the DX Audio Service. That does mean a whole lot to us. And on our next edition, why not help fill out with a market scope? Or maybe you might just want to do a column of your own and send in something about radio in your area. Contact me for more details at the new address, or actually our old address, 706 Mackenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. Until next time, 73 Good DX, and get out and support radio and your radio club.